I want to speak to every person who would like to plant or sow the Word of God in the lives of young people, friends, family, children, grandchildren. I'd like to sow the Word in the lives of the unchurched, the unreached, the urban poor, the suburban rich, any other category you want to add to that list. You want to be a sower. Well, this message is for you.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think you got all of our attention. I think every single one of us would probably say, yeah, I want to plant that at least in somebody's life.
Yeah, and the message to all who are serving the Lord in this way is that planting the seed of the Word of God is going to lead to different results in the lives of different people. And that's the teaching of Jesus in this parable of the sower. We need to take it seriously. It's possible to have an unbiblical expectation that somehow every time the Word of God is sown that it's going to produce the same kind of harvest. It's not. Some is going to fall on different kinds of ground. And therefore, a biblical expectation in ministry, which is really important, is going to help us have patience, and patience is going to help us have perseverance. So there's so much to learn from the teaching of Jesus. And I think when we learn it, it really helps to bring encouragement because we've got realistic expectations of what happens when the wonderful Word of God is sown.
Well, most of us have probably heard this parable before, but I'm going to challenge you to open your Bible, join us, and dig into Matthew chapter 13 because some great application in today's message. So join us as we continue expectations. Here is Pastor Colin.
Jesus says there will be people who joyfully receive the word, very, very quickly receive the word, but it is a passing phase. And some of you know the agony of this, close to home. Someone who seemed to show so much promise and to be so bright has now gone back, and you plead with her. And you remind her of the joy that she once knew and the profession that she once made, but she says she's moved on. And her heart is in another place, and she does not hear you. She has no root in her. She is easily influenced. And she has gone out as quickly and as easily as she came in. Here's what you're going to experience over a lifetime as a sower of the word. You're going to find that some are unresponsive. You're going to find that others are receptive, enthusiastic, but that it does not last. Understand that, expect that, know that that happens. Third, you're going to find people who are distracted. Here's something else you will experience as a sower of the word. Verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So here is a person who hears the word, and there is a receiving of the word. And the seed gets into the soil, and it begins to grow. Now, to get the picture clear, it's worth just glancing back to verse 7, where Jesus says something very significant. He says, the thorns grew up. The thorns grew up. What that means is that the thorns were not visible at the time when the seed was sown. So don't think of, you know, big thorn bushes and seed being thrown into the middle of the bushes. This is ground that looks like it's good soil. There's no evidence of any thorns at the time of the sowing. But under the surface of the soil, there are large root systems from old thorn bushes that have never been dug up from the ground. They're just covered over. So when the seed goes into that ground, the vigor that comes from these substantial thorny root systems, it outgrows the seed and therefore chokes the seed and over time kills off its life. Now, notice that Jesus does not say that this person falls away. The distracted person remains in the church. And this person would say he or she is a Christian. But the issue here is that this person is unfruitful. The ground of his life is so crowded that the profession of faith that he makes is barren. It doesn't produce fruit. He would say, oh, yes, 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 I'm a Christian. But as one commentator says, the power of godliness is eaten out of his life. It's hollowed out. One way the New Testament puts this is this person has a form of godliness. There he is in church, and everyone says, oh, yes, he's a good Christian. But it's without the power. There's no life that's actually going on in this person. It's an outward shell. The power of godliness has been eaten out from the inside. It's been crowded out. Now, friends, here's what we experience multiple times as sowers of the word in America today. There are many people who receive the word in that they profess faith in Christ. But the root system of the American dream has already filled the soil of their lives. And instead of digging out that thorny root system that is essentially about me being everything that I can become and my life being everything that I want it to be, instead of digging out that thorny root system, they merely add faith in Jesus to what is already there. So that what they mean by faith is looking to Jesus to help them achieve their own dream. The ground of their life is already filled. It is already crammed with a root system of another plant that has never been dug up. And therefore, although faith is professed, although church is attended, there is no room for the word to grow. What's occupying life? Oh, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world. It's all about me. The rich young ruler, of course, is a perfect example of this in the ministry of Jesus. I want my life to be everything it can be. I want heaven as well. I just want to make sure. And remember how he goes away from Jesus and he's sorrowful. Sorrowful. See, what's the mark of this person? There's no real joy. There's no vibrant life. Why? Because the root system of their life is just full of the thorns of the me life in this world. And you're going to experience that, Jesus says. You're going to find that. You know, people who are professing faith, but there's no reality of spiritual life. It's in name only. Because the ground of life is already full of a root that has never been dug up. Fourth, you will find as a sower of the word that there are some who are receptive and are abundantly fruitful. Look at verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. Here are people who hear the word of God and they receive it, they grasp it, they apply it into their own lives and it becomes abundantly fruitful in them. They see that God's word speaks to them, that God lays claim to their lives. It bears fruit in them. And notice that God's word will be more fruitful in some true believers than in other true believers. The degree of fruitfulness that comes from the sowing of the word of God will vary even among believers. In one 100-fold, in another 60-fold, in another 30-fold. But though the degree of fruitfulness will vary between believers, the distinguishing mark of every true believer is that the word of God bears fruit in your life. which is what Jesus was saying. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove that you are my disciples. What is the fruit? It bears fruit of repentance and of faith and of hope and of love and of service and of perseverance and of obedience and of humility and of all the fruit of the Spirit and on and on, a long, long list. The fruit of a godly life in all of its beauty and all of its fullness. So here's the great encouragement that Jesus is giving to all sowers of the seed. The living seed of the Word of God will produce an abundant harvest, but understand, it won't produce an abundant harvest in everybody's life. And even among those in whom it produces fruit, it will not produce an equal amount of fruit. It will not produce an equal harvest in the lives of everyone in whom it is fruitful. That will vary. And you will not see this fruit coming immediately. It is the parable of the sower, but the seed grows over time, and often the most immediate results turn out to be quite disappointing. Understand, as you give yourself to a life of service, that there will be frustrations, there will be setbacks, but God's word faithfully sown will raise a harvest of lives that are lived under the blessing of God's rule. That's what he's teaching in this parable.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and the first message in a series called Ministry Matters, taking a look at expectations today. And if you miss any part of this series, you can always come to our website and you can listen to each and every broadcast online. Just come to unlockingthebible.org. That's unlockingthebible.org. All right, back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
Now, let me just in these last moments then try and draw some conclusions or some very practical applications from what Jesus teaches to us here. Practical wisdom for sustaining in the long term a faithful and fruitful ministry. Here's the first application. Stick with the proper seed. Always remember that the fruit-bearing seed is the Word of God. He who hears the Word, hears the Word, hears the Word. Jesus keeps repeating it. The seed is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the only seed that will bear the fruit of Godward change in people's lives. And one of the greatest responsibilities of a ministry leader, wherever God may have given you trust in leadership in a ministry, in a small group, mentoring situation, oversight of a church. One of the greatest responsibilities of any ministry leader, wherever God has given you that trust, is that you make sure to the best of your ability that the Word of God is at the heart of the ministry in which He has given you responsibility. Would a person need a Bible when they showed up for the evening in your life group? If they wouldn't need a Bible in your life group, change what your life group is doing until you're doing something for which a person would need a Bible, so that you're sowing the right seed. Two women are in a mentoring relationship. They meet for coffee. And here you are, the person who's been given some wisdom from the Lord, and you're trying to impart some good things. Would the person who's meeting with you for that mentoring, would they need a Bible when they meet with you? Would that be part of the conversation? Would you be bringing them in any way to what you have learned from the Word of God? If not, change your approach to mentoring until they would need a Bible. And then you'll be planting the seed of the Word of God. Then you'll be producing a Godward life. This is the only seed that does it. Here's how a church loses a fruitful and faithful ministry. What happens is this. Some well-meaning Christians observe what Jesus teaches us here, that the seed of the Word of God does not produce an abundant harvest in every life. And they say, you know, there are some people for whom this seed is not producing a harvest, so we have to consider them. So let's try some other seed. They're not responding, so let's give them something else. But here's the difficulty when a church goes down that line or when a ministry goes down that line. Different seed will produce a different harvest. Different seed may keep a circle of people in the group. Different seed may create a helpful group experience, but it will not bring people under the rule of God. It will not produce lives that are lived under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Only the seed of the Word of God does that. So, you see, the goal of Jesus was never to keep the crowd. The goal of Jesus was always to draw out of the crowd people who would live under the blessing of God's rule. And that harvest can only be raised through the Word of God. So I'm saying to you from this passage of Scripture, let's stick with the proper seed individually and together. Thank God for a church that more than 60 years has stuck with the living seed of the Word of God and says that's what's going to be central to our ministry. May that always be so. You have to understand, though, that it won't raise a harvest in everybody. And if you start from that perspective, that's how it gets lost, you see. Stick with the proper seed. Exercise patience. Remember that the seed grows over time. Jesus told the parable of the sower, not the parable of the bomber. He does not say a certain bomber went out to bomb, and as he bombed, the whole face of the earth beneath him was completely and immediately changed. And the truth is, sometimes that's what we would like to see. The structures of evil are sometimes so strong in this world. Oh, how we would love to see abortion unneeded and unwanted now. Oh, how we would love to see the culture transformed, the winds blowing in the direction of godliness now. There are times when in our frustration we would be happy, so to speak, if God were to drop a few bombs. But Jesus is telling us here that God's work gets done by sowing seeds, not by dropping bombs. That the work of Christ gets done not by earth-shattering explosions, but by the faithful, continual sowing the seed of the Word of God, the living seed that bears fruit in one person at a time, one congregation at a time. And then the third application is simply this: watch yourself. Always remember, this is a message to sowers. But remember this, that your work as a sower, someone who wants to bring the Word of God into the lives of others, your work as a sower can affect the soil of your own heart. I must never forget as a pastor, you must never forget as a leader, that while we are given the great privilege of ministering the Word of God to others, we ourselves are soil, and we have to watch the soil of our own hearts. Here's what happens. You love the Lord, you give yourself to ministry, you step up, you take some responsibility, you become a sower of the Word in the lives of other people, and not too long after, here's what happens, you get trodden on. The soil of your heart gets trodden on. There's some difficult experience that comes in the course of ministry, and at that point you have to watch your own heart that it does not become hard like the path. How easy it is, I've seen this. A parent who is so deeply concerned, a father who's so deeply concerned about his son who's unresponsive and hard-hearted towards the Lord, and in his own frustration, in his own anxiety over that, what he does not notice is a slow process in which his own heart is becoming increasingly hard and unresponsive towards the same word. And as you give yourself to ministry, you will find that it becomes more costly. God will ask more of you. Circumstances will arise in your life that will make it more difficult. When that happens, watch your heart that as a sower, you do not lose your joy. And as you give yourself to ministry, here's what happens. Your life will become more crowded. As God gives you greater responsibility, it will be harder for you to manage your life. That's why the ability for a person to manage their life and therefore manage their household is one of the qualifications for leadership in the life of the church. As when your life becomes increasingly crowded, watch your heart. It's easy to become like Martha, who loved Jesus, but she was concerned about many things, good things, things even that related to Jesus. Don't let your life become so crowded with what you are doing for Jesus that you no longer have room for Jesus in you. Then here's the fourth thing. Trust the outcome of your ministry into the hands of God. Always remember that God can change the hardest heart. There will be times when you wonder. That's why Jesus tells us the parable. You will wonder what has come of your sowing of the seed in a particular person's life. You prayed for them. You love them. And it seems, as far as you can see, that all of your efforts and even the efforts of others have been like sowing seed on very, very hard ground indeed. And it's not obvious to you that anything much remains. But I want you to think about this picture as you see that hard strip of ground, the path that goes through the middle of the field that has been widely sown. You do not know where God will be plowing next week. William Lane points out, and I found this so wonderfully helpful, so that's why I end here, that in the time of Jesus, plowing was done after sowing, not before. Now you think about that picture. Here's this strip of hard ground. Nothing remains on it. All the seed seems to have been taken away. But now the plow comes and it goes right through the hard ground as well as through the good ground. And the seed that was near to the path suddenly gets tipped and turned and everything is changed. The plow goes through the hardest roots. The plow moves. God's plow moves. The stoniest ground, the biggest boulders. And when God's plow comes, won't you be so glad that you had planted the seed?
Really some practical wisdom and help today for sustaining a life of fruitful ministry. That can be so hard to do in this world where so often we set out into ministry with the best of intentions, but as we encounter the difficulties of sowing seed, we really can become discouraged and even burned out. And that's what not only today's message, but our current series, Ministry Matters, is all about. Really taking a look at what we can expect when you set out in ministry, how people are going to respond, and the kind of progress that we might be likely to experience. And in the midst of that, how to avoid the trap of ministry burnout. If you want to get a copy of our series, Ministry Matters, ask about it when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253. Now, if you're a regular listener to this program, you know we're listener-supported and depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station. But as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And Colin, what do you hope that readers will take away from this book?
Well, if there's anyone listening to us right now who says, I feel spiritually dry, then my hope and prayer is that the pursuit of God would just be like a long, refreshing drink of cold water for you. You know, to feel thirsty, to feel dry is actually a normal experience of the Christian life. If you're going through this, it's not a strange thing. You know, David says in one of the Psalms, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. It's actually a good thing to experience that. We go through times when we feel dry. And when I've gone through times of feeling dry, you know, I have some books that I go to, and one of them for sure is The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. It's just wonderfully refreshing. It gives a fresh sense of a passion for God. And I hope that it will have that effect in the lives of those who read it this month.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book. Again, it's called The Pursuit of God from A.W. Tozer, our way of saying thanks for your financial support. Give a gift of any amount. You can call us and give over the phone. The phone number is 1-866-865-6253. That might be easier to remember as 1-866-UNLOCKED. You can also go to our website and give online. Request a copy there when you do. Our website address is unlockingthebible.org. That's unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for doing that and for listening today. I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. So what's the experience of the true Christian believer in this world? Find out on the next Unlocking the Bible.